personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, I guess we should start with the most late-breaking news, Dal. It kind of just fell into our lap this morning. I was on the paper run when Adam Scheffler on Twitter informed me that Tom Brady will not be playing football in 2023.
That's what he says.
Yeah. We'll see if this one sticks. As we all recall, he did retire last year. Or is he gonna go Favre on us, Dal? Or is this the end of Tom Brady?
I think this is it. And here's my reason. Here's why I think it's... So that game that they lose to the Cowboys, he comes off the field. And again, this is just... And I'm not saying I'm super observant or some kind of... You know, like I'm special or anything. I'm not. But I did happen to observe a couple of things, and this is my opinion on it. So he just seemed like he was kind of soaking things in a little bit more than normal. He was seeking players out. And then as he's heading up the tunnel, his parents are there. And he just kind of, he leans in and he kisses his mom on the cheek and gives her a hug and says something to his mom and dad and then goes up the tunnel. And I thought to myself, that looks like he is done. That looked like he was like saying goodbye to the game that his parents have supported him in for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that to myself. I'm like, this is body language. It just looked like, and even, and maybe he wasn't even sure then, but I bet he was leaning that way at the time. I feel like he's done.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, we get the very famous quote from, I think it was about 4 years ago, when he said, "I'll retire when I suck." And did anyone else enjoy that he loses one football game to the Dallas Cowboys and decided, well, I guess that's the time?
I just, it's interesting to me that there's so much Brady hate out there. There really is. There's a lot of people think he is overrated. They think refs are in his pocket. They think whatever, for whatever reason, they think he's overrated or that he's not.
See, now I had Brady hate for a vast majority of my watching career. It wasn't that I thought he was overrated. I just didn't like him.
Oh, because he won all the time?
Yes.
Okay, that's understandable.
I am 100% that guy. I don't like the Yankees.
Yeah,
I don't like the Lakers.
I don't like the Cowboys.
Well,
Dallas.
Dallas I hate for fan and owner related reasons.
Right.
Obviously the Packers is a gimme because I'm a Bears fan. And I don't like the Montreal Canadiens. It's just my thing. Right now, I really don't like the Kansas City Chiefs.
Breaking news. Aaron doesn't like Canadians.
Breaking news. Aaron is a hater. But yeah, I mean, that's just me. If it's not my team that's doing it, or even a team that maybe I just had a pre-existing like for instance, like I like the Eagles just fine. I'll root for them to win another Super Bowl. That's okay. There will be a limit to it, though, I think. I think if they get like 3 in a 10-year space, I'm going to start bumping them down my likability index quite a bit and be like, you know what? Maybe it's someone else's turn. I'm bored with you. And I was like that with the Patriots. I said, okay, fine. I've seen, for a majority of my life, I've seen 3 of these. Someone else. I'm done with you. And then, all right, okay, 4, 5, 6? Seriously? The same team? Can I not watch something else instead?
Oh, he's going to leave. Okay, nothing. There's no way in hell he's going to win. Oh.
You know what was 7. Funny? Is it really was something of a, I was so bored of seeing a team in the Super Bowl. When he went to Tampa Bay, that is actually when the switch hit in my brain, really? When I realized I didn't really hate Tom Brady that much anymore. I said, oh, all he needed was a different coat of paint, apparently. I was just bored of the Patriots, I guess.
But I just,
Tampa Bay doesn't win anything. Sure, go ahead, take them to a Super Bowl. I don't care.
But what he did over the course of his career is incredible. But let's just look at it from this year's standpoint. He threw for 4,600 yards this year, I believe. I'm in the middle of looking that up. Yeah, 4,694 yards. there's the list of quarterbacks who have done that, period, once, is not that long. I mean, the reason I bring this up is franchise-starved or quarterback-starved franchises like yours and mine,
mm-hmm.
Statistically, the greatest quarterback Washington's ever had is Kirk Cousins. I mean,
now to be fair, I think you've got at least one in the Hall of Fame.
I'm saying statistically.
Yeah, I don't think Theismann's ever made the cut.
No,
but he was very good.
But what this guy has done, he's put up the numbers to go to the Hall of Fame twice.
Three times in some. Have you seen the by each age decade? His 20s, his 30s, his 40s. Oh,
anyway, the man is about a biscuit younger than me, and I ingest ibuprofen every single day just to get through my day. I feel like I am run down all the time. I'm just saying, I'm middle aged. I feel old and middle aged. He threw for 4,000, almost 4,700 yards this year.
Not just that, almost more impressively, and unfortunately kind of takes away from the impressiveness of the yardage, but it is impressive in its own right that he didn't die or that his arm didn't fall off, considering he is elderly, but set the all-time record for most pass attempts in a season.
This year!
The Buccaneers, they weren't giving him rest days. As an old man, they said, actually, as it turns out, Tom, we're going to need you and you alone to do literally everything for our offense, if you could.
And, again, and I don't want this to sound like gushing, had his receivers, had his talents around him done their job, who knows what we might be talking about for the Super Bowl this weekend. Mike Evans, as good as he is, as good as he is in the numbers he's put up, how many touchdown passes did he drop this year?
He dropped three.
I think he dropped more like five.
Officially, he dropped three. He had five called back on penalties, which was the most painful. However, I had Mike Evans in fantasy, by the way. Let's not pretend Tom Brady didn't overthrow him his fair number of times either.
I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying the guy's perfect. But he did... I still feel like that had the Buccaneers' offense and defense...
The penalties calling back a bunch of the touchdowns hurt my feelings, though, the most. I'll just say that.
So if the Bucs had played like they did 2 years ago, they might be in the Super Bowl right now. I think Brady was still good enough to get him there, is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like his teammates did not play up to their end of the bargain, especially in, you know, defense, too. I mean, that was... You could even argue that the defense 2 years ago was the reason they won. I mean, let's be honest. They kicked the crap out of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Which was so fun to watch.
The amazing excellence and longevity of what he's done is just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
I don't think we're ever going to see anything like that ever. I mean, people are already trying to coronate. Oh, Mahomes will be the next Brady. Oh, Burrow will be the next Brady. Josh Allen could be. I'm like, I don't think there's going to be a next Brady.
They're already behind. That's the crazy thing. Maybe not Mahomes, but those other guys, they're already behind. And I'm telling you, I'll be shocked if Mahomes plays 22 years in the league.
Yeah.
That's just...
His passing yards.
That's a long damn time.
His passing yards record is catchable. If you're a Mahomes and you're going to be throwing as often as the Chiefs do, and you're throwing deep as often as the Chiefs do, his touchdowns are maybe catchable too if you play a long time. Seven Super Bowls is not getting touched. Not in the way the NFL works now. The way that teams have to rearrange every couple of years, and almost in a way, it feels like every team that wasn't New England had to rebuild their whole roster, at least partially, like every 5 years or so. That's what it kind of feels like has to happen, especially when you're good.
Well, New England did it too. Look at the first three championships they won.
Apart from the last three.
And you look at the mainstays and the Hall of Famers that were on that, maybe those first three. Totally different than the next ones.
Yeah, the first three had one player in common with the last three.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, and we're talking about him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, an incredible run. And I just, at the same time, it's going to be kind of fun to move on without him.
The NFC South is going to be a bit of a slap fight for a year or two, won't it?
And what will analysts talk about this offseason? There was already a rumor that Tom Brady and was it Sean Payton?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to Washington, both of them. Well, that's all over with now.
Yeah, Sean Payton is official. He's with the Denver Broncos. Compensation not yet announced. But I find it so funny that the New Orleans Saints are going to get draft capital for free. Sean Payton wasn't coaching the New Orleans Saints. They traded a retired guy and are going to get something back for it. Well, that's just hilarious.
I already read what it is. Did you see that?
Oh, no.
They're getting a 23 first-round pick, a 24 second-round pick, and Payton is going, and the Saints are sending a 20. I can't remember what year it was. They're sending a third-round pick with Payton.
Okay.
But the Saints are getting a first and second-round pick.
For a coach.
For a guy that was retired, that was not doing anything.
Eastern Illinois legend, Sean Payton.
Anyway, it's just
former Chicago Bears quarterback, Sean Payton.
So, yeah, what are the talking sports heads going to talk about now?
Do you think he'll fix Russell Wilson?
I don't know.
I have a strong inkling in my head that I think what we thought Denver could conceivably be this year, they very well might be next year.
And I feel like he's done.
Peyton or Russ?
Russell Wilson. I feel like...
You don't think there was any coincidence to the fact that Russell Wilson had his three best games at the end of the year after Hackett got fired?
I just feel like...
You don't
like,
buy into that?
I just feel like there's a reason... You go back to when the Seahawks made that trade and then said they were sticking with Geno Smith. And everybody went, what? You're out of your friggin' mind. And then Geno Smith breaks the franchise record for passing yards more than what Wilson ever did. Now, that aside, you got to look at that now in retrospect and go, well, Carroll saw something. He knew something. And then you look at the year that Wilson has had. Even take away the statistics, which mm-hmm. are abysmal. Take that away. He's not likable. His teammates do not like him. But at least that didn't look like it.
Here's what I do know, though, is that all I need from Denver is 2 wins a year. That's all I'm asking. And they put up a fight with Kansas City twice. Now you have Sean Payton. Please, Denver? Please, I'm begging.
I'm a big fan of Sean Payton, and I think there's a lot of things that he will do to make that franchise better. But remember, John Gruden came out of the broadcast booth and went back to Oakland, and they were paying him $10 million a year. And what the hell did Oakland do? They didn't do anything until after they fired him.
Because their franchise was in Las Vegas.
But I'm just saying, but you know what I mean. Sorry. But they didn't do anything until after they fired him, mm-hmm. and then they didn't retain that guy, or they didn't give him the job.
Speaking of new head coaching hires, well, then also we were just talking about the NFC South. No more Tom Brady; he's gone. The NFC South could be totally up for grabs next year, and the Carolina Panthers, I feel, had the biggest home run hire head coach in the league. We just talked about Sean Payton. DeMeco Ryans hired by the Houston Texans.
Which I think is a great hire.
Carolina got Frank Reich, who should have never been fired from Indianapolis. And I'm honestly very excited to see what Frank Reich can do in Carolina.
You're not wrong, because that turned into... I thought he was going to be phenomenal with the Colts. And you saw signs of good things there.
Mm-hmm.
But then it became evident that ownership is too toxic to survive certain... things that didn't go their way, and there was a lot of things that didn't go the Colts' way.
Well, and Frank Reich had Andrew Luck for 1 year, who then retired. So then he had Jacoby Brissett, then he had Brissett, and still had a winning record, I think.
Carson Wentz.
Then he had Phillip Rivers, and he made the playoffs at 11-5. And then he had Carson Wentz, who only played about half those games.
But they still had a winning record.
And they still had a winning record. And then this year he had the corpse of Matt Ryan and Nick Foles.
And Sam Ehlinger.
And got fired for that.
Actually, yeah, I guess they didn't have Sam. They used Sam after they fired him. Yeah.
Just so that's kind of the resume we're talking about. And they have a chance to pick a new quarterback if they really want to in Carolina.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is I'm sure Chicago's phone is open, by the way, if you want to pick your own. DJ Moore and some draft picks. You can have number one.
I do want to say that. So I agree with you that I think Frank Reich is a very good head coach, and I think he has a chance to be very successful, much like the Jaguars dumping Urban Meyer and picking up Doug Peterson, or Peterson, however you say his name. Not in the same way, because obviously Meyer was a social train wreck. But I feel like they have a chance to turn it around similarly like the Jaguars have with, oh, crap, we hired the wrong guy, and, oh, crap, now we got a good one. The difference is, for the second time in a row, Steve Wilks is getting screwed. He's getting screwed over, and again, I'm not really willing to stand up here and play the race card because I'm a white guy in Wyoming. This is as white as it gets, folks. I am as white bread as a loaf of wonder. I really am. I don't mean to tread on this too much. But what the hell does Steve Wilks have to do to get a head coaching job? Look at what he did in Arizona for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
They were solid, especially considering what happened. I mean, he didn't get a chance to do anything. And then he goes to Carolina. They can Matt Rhule, who apparently still thinks he's owed money, by the way. That's another story that's come out today. And so here you have Sam Darnold, who's never done anything. You have Baker Mayfield for part of the year. You've got, who else did they start at quarterback this year?
PJ Walker.
Yeah.
Had a couple of games.
Whoever that guy is.
AAF legend, PJ Walker.
Yeah, he's a nobody. No offense.
Of the Orlando Apollos, I believe it might have been. I don't really remember.
To me, you could visibly tell when the Panthers were being coached by Wilks instead of Rhule.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, wow, that team is competitive every week. In fact, they even made a little bit of a run. They even showed up in the hunt part of the playoffs. And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
They threatened Tampa.
And so once again, it's not that the guy who gets the job doesn't deserve the job.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain guys out there who get screwed over. And a shocking amount of them are black. Steve Wilks getting screwed over again.
My boy Lovie Smith. Poor Lovie. Thanks for getting Chicago the number one pick, though. We still love you. All of us love you, except ownership for some reason.
And then, like I said, you don't know who he is, and you're just some schmuck out in Wyoming kicks in, and it's like, damn, I'd take him on my staff. Like, I would. It's like, oh, yeah, come be a coordinator for my team. I love Steve. And then once again, the cycle continues. He never gets to be the guy for 3 or 4 years. Like, you should get a chance to be a head coach. Not technically, I was a head coach a couple of times, which is what it seems like it's happened to him. I think it's crap. And part of it might be coincidence. Part of it might be racial. Part of it might just be circumstance.
I think it.
But I'm annoyed for the guy.
The biggest screw job was Arizona.
Yeah.
To me.
Yes.
Because they hired a coach with a worse resume than him to come take that
way
job.
Way worse. Because they thought they were getting the Patrick Mahomes of coaches.
Yes.
This innovative young player that's
with a losing record in college.
This innovative young coach that's going to do stuff that blows the minds of of all the professional league. And it's just like, that's not how the NFL works.
No. Here in Carolina, I mean, Frank Reich was right there.
I know. Again, I like Frank Reich.
I'd rather have Frank Reich.
And I think he's going to be phenomenal. And I'm not even saying that he is not going to do a better job than Steve Wilks would have done. I'm just saying I think Steve Wilks...
You feel for him.
I'm just saying I think Steve Wilks was doing a damn good job.
Yeah.
And hopefully now he's jobless.
Yeah, hopefully he gets another chance here shortly. He's getting...
I'll say the same thing about... Just so people don't think I'm just being a... Like I said, a race baiter. I'll throw this out there. His name escapes me. Starts with a B. The guy who led the Raiders after they canned John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
And took him to the damn playoffs. Biscotti or something like that. It's anyway, I don't know if that's right, but he got absolutely screwed over too, and no one even talks about him.
No,
it's just he took a team that has been looking for stability for 10 years and had them stable, and they went, who else can we get with their pumpkin pie haircutted freak of an owner? Tell me he does not remind you of that line from Dumb and Dumber. What is with billionaires and crappy haircuts?
It's just the way, Dal. It's what you got to do.
Oh, my gosh. He looks like he cuts it himself with a cereal bowl. Like, he does it.
And while we're talking about the NFL here, we've also, obviously, the last week, I think I stated that we would save our Super Bowl previews for next week to give us something.
Sure.
Something to tantalize our adoring audience here, Dal. But we can talk about what happened this previous week. Once again, not a whole... not a whole lot to talk about.
That's all free for you folks.
With the Philadelphia Eagles game, my goodness. And you know what's wild, Dal? I can cram a Bears reference in here. I can hype up my Chicago Bears. The Philadelphia Eagles have now won two consecutive playoff games by the score of, 31-7 and 38-7?
Yeah, blowouts.
Yeah. They will need to win the Super Bowl by 27 points to break the 85 Bears record for point differential in a playoff run.
Hmm.
They would need to beat... They've already won two games in massive blowouts. They will need three.
That would be shocking. It would be shocking if they beat the Chiefs by four touchdowns, is what I'm saying. I'm not expecting that. Speaking of which, you know, we'll get into this next week. Just as a teaser, I don't know who's going to win that game. No idea.
I already have my pick locked in, but we better talk about that Bengals-Chiefs game.
Yeah.
And we better make it snappy before I remember my seething rage that I felt on Sunday night and my head explodes right here in front of everyone.
I'm actually blaming you for part of it because... You pointed out what a perfect game they executed in Buffalo.
Why don't you just do it two games in a row?
Because you can't.
I am still absolutely 100%, not a doubt in my mind, convinced that both of those teams playing the absolute most perfect, best game that both of them are capable of playing, Cincinnati wins every single time. I genuinely believe that they are a better football team than the Kansas City Chiefs at their best. And I'm not just saying when Cincinnati plays their best. I mean, let the Kansas City Chiefs, the best that the Chiefs can possibly play is not as good as the best that the Cincinnati Bengals can possibly play. I am willing to die on that hill. And instead, both of them came out like stumbling over themselves. And we got, you mentioned Dumb and Dumber earlier. It was stupid penalties being taken by both teams, dropped balls, holds, missed blocking assignments. Terrible secondary play, at least on the part of the Bengals. I mean, my goodness. You cannot let Valdez-Scantling continuously get that open against you. He's not an NFL starting wide receiver. You can't lose Valdez-Scantling that consistently.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
He had a huge game.
Yeah.
It was an odd game to me.
It was so sloppy.
It was sloppy. You know, it's a postseason. It happens. Let's be honest. These guys have played 20 games by now. people are worn out. People that are hurt are injured now. People who are worn out are worn down. I can see it happening is what I'm saying.
This is now three consecutive seasons in which Joe Burrow's season has been ended by his offensive line letting a clean rusher come through right at him. Talking about his rookie year against your Washington.
Yeah, we broke him.
I don't even remember who it was that sacked him. Was it
Chase Young?
It was Young. Completely unblocked off the edge. Oops. All right. Super Bowl last year. Whoopsie daisies. Forgot to block Aaron Donald. Season over. That's a shame. This year, oh, dang it. Totally whiffed on Chris Jones, the Chiefs' best defensive player. Well, that's a shame. They sacked Joe Burrow and our season's over. What a glorious streak the Bengals' offensive line is on in Joe Burrow's season-ending moments. Simply spectacular stuff. You gotta love it. So, yeah, our thoughts on the two conference champs. A lot of talk all of a sudden about the NFL being rigged because of poor officiating, which happens every time there's poor officiating ever.
Please stop with this, people.
It's kind of annoying. However, yes, the officiating was really awful.
It wasn't very good, but there should tell you why it's not rigged. They're not good enough at their job to rig anything.
And I know they're your boys. So you wouldn't want any narrative spreading that they somehow, like, they had every advantage ever and still lost or something. But I'll just say this. If the NFL was going to rig a scripted Super Bowl, the Buffalo Bills would be in the Super Bowl right now. Yeah. The NFL didn't care about Chiefs-Eagles. Like, apart from the Andy Reid thing. And we do have the Kelce Bowl.
And the two starting black quarterbacks.
Yes, the Buffalo Bills making the Super Bowl this year would have been the money storyline if they were WWE scripting this people are accusing them of. And their opponent would have been the 49ers. The Philadelphia Eagles don't have any massive storylines coming into this.
I really don't like Jalen Hurts. He seems like a smug something or other.
That's the Washington Commanders fan in you. I didn't like Hurts only because I didn't think he was the real deal for so long. Now he's kind of proven me a little bit wrong, though he was a little rough against the 49ers, but who doesn't look a little rough against the 49ers? Every single story about Hurts, when people talk about, like, they've met him, all his old teammates, every story is about, well, you know what, say what you want about his play, but what a nice kid he is. What a swell gent. And then in comes Dal. I know nothing about Hurts. All I know is that I don't like the cut of his jib.
He's smug. although I do, if I'm going to want one team to win at this point, I would like to see Marcus Epps, Wyoming guy who starts for the Eagles, win. I mean, I've mentioned him before on the podcast. Former walk-on at Wyoming from Los Angeles. Three-time team captain. He gets drafted in the sixth round by the Vikings. And now he's in the Super Bowl.
You know who else gets a Super Bowl ring if the Eagles win?
Gardner Minshew?
Ian Book.
Oh.
He is the third-string quarterback on that Philadelphia.
Are you sure? Does he get a real one, or does he get, like, one of those office ones?
Even the office ones are real rings. They all get the ring.
They are, but they're not the real rings.
They look the same. They're made out of the same stuff.
They're kind of the same, but they're not the same.
You'd still
don't
put
you
one
watch
on your
Pawn Stars?
You'd put it on your mantle.
Oh, absolutely, I would. But I'm just saying, the one that, let's say, Jalen Hurts gets is, and maybe Ian Book, maybe it is, if you're on the active roster, then yeah, I think it is the same.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but there's other people who get rings that are pretty nice, but they're not, they're like $500 nice, not $50,000 nice.
I still remember when the Seahawks signed Steve Largent as some nothing.
Yeah, so he could get a ring.
So that he could get a Super Bowl ring because they felt he deserved it. And he showed that thing off on social media. That was quite a ring.
That was probably a real one because he's Steve effing Largent.
That was an I'm sorry ring from the Seahawks. Like, I'm sorry you were like one of the top 10 receivers ever, and you know, we were the Seahawks at the time.
It also brings up, I remember, I cannot remember the guy's name, but he's a former Bears player, and he was talking about how cheap the Bears were, and he was using the Super Bowl rings as a... as the point of his story.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, now it's completely out of hand. I mean, now it's whatever the owner wants to spend. Now, you know, they make them the size of a baseball, and I mean, and they do whatever they want. But up until basically Robert Kraft decided to overhaul what the Super Bowl rings looked like, the league would pay $5,000 a ring for so many rings for the champion. And then it was up to the ownership if they wanted to embellish any on top of that, like extra jewels or things like that, which most owners did. Anyway, this guy was talking about the McCaskies and the Bears, and he says, do you want to know how much our rings cost? $5,000. They spent what the league gave them and not a penny more.
My favorite the Bears being cheap stories all are way older than that, though. But they were for some reason, it's funny when you hear George Halas was cheap stories because the Bears were winning championships. But then you talk about the McCaskies being cheap stories and they're just like heinous and we all hate it because they don't win championships. So now the cheapness is stupid. When George Halas was penny pinching, it was funny. But then you stop winning and the penny pinching becomes egregious. Like,
not to make it the Chicago thing, but the whole Black Sox scandal.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
You've heard Mike Ditka talk about.
Supposedly that happened because Comiskey was such a tightwad.
Mm-hmm.
And basically had his players as indentured servants on the lowest paid. They were the lowest paid team in the league.
Mike Ditka has a very infamous story about negotiating his second contract with George Halas. And Halas wanted to pay him less than a rookie contract for his second contract because he said, well, you know, your numbers dipped in your final year of that contract. And he said, I still led the league in receiving among tight ends. And he said, yeah, but your trajectory's going lower, so I'm not paying you to keep dropping numbers like that. So I project that this contract, you're only going to have like 300 yards next year. And he said, you can't do that. I had 600 and something. 600 and something was enough to lead all tight ends in the 60s, of course. But Mike Ditka goes, I'm trying to negotiate not being the lowest paid player on the team, and I just went to 4 straight Pro Bowls with George Halas.
Yeah. And there are owners like that still, including maybe the McCaskies. I don't know.
Well,
they still own the Bears. So
they do still own the Bears. Of course, they're about to build a several billion-dollar dome state. I do find
are
that
they really going to do that?
They are. Yeah,
they're going to put a dome on Soldier Field.
No, they're moving to Arlington Heights and building a dome.
But they're going to be a dome for Chicago football.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's
I don't
stupid.
Like that.
Nobody likes it. Even the retractable roof thing is nothing more than a smokescreen because we know you're not going to open it. Look me in the eyes and tell me that you're going to leave that thing open and say, yeah, bring in all the snow. Let's go.
Hmm.
Like, no, you're not. You're going to close it because you're going to get chilly.
Yeah, and then everyone's going to be like, why do you have a roof if you're not going to close it?
Yeah, dumb. Exactly. But, so I'm so torn on that because I am pro move to Arlington Heights, get a new stadium because Soldier Field sucks. It's way too tiny for being the second largest market for football in America. You cannot have a 66,000 seated stadium in Chicago.
I don't know. If you sell it out and the demand is high, then I think you can get away with it.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's tiny. Soldier Field is so small for being in Chicago. You're telling me that Los Angeles...
So I'm saying they get away with it is what I'm saying, though. Because... there's a premium for tickets.
I guess. But as a fan.
Oh, as a fan, you're getting screwed.
That's what I'm saying. I said, I am pro move to Arlington Heights, build a 100,000 seat stadium. If Los Angeles can justify having 100,000 seats in its stadium and they never sell out any of them, Chicago sure as hell can afford 100,000.
I don't know, because Los Angeles is weird.
Dallas sells out its stadium every single time. I know the Cowboys are the Cowboys, but like they're the most popular team in America. But like the Cowboys fans that live in Kentucky for no reason aren't the ones selling out the stadium, right? It's still just the Dallas area for the most part. Chicago is just as big of a football city as Dallas is, if not way bigger. Chicago loves the Bears. We can squeeze 100,000 people in there, maybe drive the ticket price down a little bit. And also Soldier Field has no team store. It just has stalls with T-shirts for sale. It's a crappy stadium. It's very historic, which is nice. It's a crappy stadium. Not pro-dome, though. Pro-Arlington Heights, not pro-dome. That's my stance on that. However, I'm going to have to just swallow the fact that both are happening in about 10 years. I do find it funny, though, that people still... People blame the Bears being bad on the McCaskies being cheap, which is the laziest thing a fan can possibly do, is just say, our owners are cheap, that's why we never win. I said, there's a salary cap and we hit it. What do you mean the owners are cheap? There's a cap, and we spend all the money in that cap when we're good.
Which just went up, by the way.
Yeah. So what do you mean? This isn't baseball. It's not like, well, just keep spending money. You can't. Every team spends. We spend the same amount of money as the Chiefs. We spend the same amount of money as the Patriots. They're just better at drafting than us. That's not cheap. That's just them being better than us. Lazy argument for a football fan to go the cheap route.
To clarify, that's not what I was saying.
No, that was me ranting about... Okay. I'm on a lot of Bears like fan pages, really? And stuff. And, yeah. I see a lot of that. I also see a lot of, we need to draft a quarterback number one and move Justin Fields to running back.
They're not going to do that.
I can always tell the exact age of the person commenting that simply by that comment existing, because that's not feasible. It's not a possibility. I'm just hoping we trade out a number one, get ourselves a nice little gift basket in return, filled to the brim with draft picks. That's my dream scenario. We can hope it comes along nicely.
So, are we ready to move to a different subject?
Sure.
So, one other thing that happened this week that garnered an emotional response from me was LeBron James acting like a petulant little girl. For over a minute, by the way, he just was collapsed on the floor in dramatic fashion.
Me, when I'm playing my cousins at Mario Kart and the stupid cart goes off the stupid edge of the track.
Exactly. That's fine. This is the guy. This is supposed to be a billionaire role model, the greatest of all time.
Is he a billionaire?
Oh, hell yeah. If he's not, he's close.
Maybe.
He's got to be. He's got to be at this point.
All right, well, while you Google it, continue with your... You're, of course, referring to the foul call that was not called.
But
that may or may not have even been that egregious of a foul, but...
I'm already firmly... Firmly.
It should be noted that whatever we say next, you have to also correlate that Dal and I are not LeBron James fans.
So. I'm actually a fan of him personally. I think what he's done is incredible. I remember when he came in the league, I thought nobody can live up to those expectations, and he did. I think it's amazing that he doesn't have, 15 kids from 10 different mothers in different cities across the country. Supposedly he's...
Well, you already know why I root against LeBron James, because we discussed it earlier with football. Like, all right, you've been too good for too long and you're not on the Bulls. I'm done with you, go away.
But
I need a new toy now to play with.
Yeah, and I understand part of that. I mean, he started a school.
Mm-hmm.
He's like educating... he's paying for the scholarships for... So there's a lot... I'm just saying, there's a lot of things that he does that are amazing.
To also preference it, I mean... Sure, I disagree with some of the lectures he likes to give us from time to time on his politics.
Especially that's considering, fine. No offense, but you didn't even go to college, dude.
If you really want to just think all the opposite things as me, every single thing I think politically, you think the opposite of it, and you build 10 schoolhouses for children, I think we're still probably good here.
Yeah. Anyway, so amazing things. But stop coming at me like he is the greatest player of all time. He is a diva. He is an actor. He's even been in a couple movies. And I know Jordan did a movie too. At least his was good. But which, I just, but he is, he, that whole thing was like, are you on a movie set right now? What was that? That was embarrassing is what it was. Take away his man card for like a month at least. Cause that is bullshit.
I've had,
he did there.
I've had my fair share of angry, I can't believe you did this to me at refs from time to time. They usually end with a coach saying some things that are not safe for radio at me on the sideline. I'm not sure that I've ever had, I mean, I know it was probably like fictional to try to like draw attention to himself and try to
get
the refs' attention.
That's exactly my point. It was just this big dramatic scene.
It didn't look angry to me. I've never had a moment where I didn't get a call from a ref in any sport and felt what if those were all real emotions, he must have been going through the worst bout of depression that has ever hit any human ever. He looked like his dog had just been run over in front of him.
If that was the finals, game 7 of the finals, I could at least understand a partial reaction like that. This is a loss to the Celtics, who are number one in the East. The Lakers are not very good. You're not winning the championship. It's not even the All-Star break. What is going on?
Am I in the wrong here for thinking that still in my brain? I'm like, if it had just been an angry rant, I could understand.
Yeah.
It's like the sadness on his face that makes me assume that it's fictional. I'm like, you're not sad that you didn't get a foul call.
It's going to the ground and praying to the sky for justice, that kind of crap. And the other thing is, it just kind of, it overflows the cup of this generation of NBA stars are soft by comparison. Michael Jordan, at the end of his career, pushing 40, he never missed games, ever. For injury, for anything. The last 3 years he was in Chicago, he won 3 finals MVPs, 2 league MVPs, and had 3 scoring titles. And missed 0 games.
I can technically claim the last 3 as in my lifetime championships that Chicago has won.
And then you watch the documentary, The Last Dance, which mm-hmm. was phenomenal, by the way. And I just... some of the stuff he says in that, it's like he really is wired differently. Just like we were talking about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's wired differently. He's hardwired to be competitive. And I'm not saying that all players aren't to some degree, but some of them are extreme. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordan shows up and it's like, okay, I got to play my ass off for some guy in row 6 Section F because they scrimped and saved to come to the game to watch me play and I've got to put on a hell of a show. And he did that every game. At least the effort level was to do that every game. And he said that in The Last Dance. He's like, he felt like I owed that to the fans who were paying money. They were taking time to come out and watch me play. Now what goes on? Oh, I'm taking a game off. Now you got players having to make it up to little kids who cry on the sidelines that goes public because they thought they were going to get to see somebody and then they didn't because they sat out that game for no reason. Just, I'm tired or I don't want to play. Well, tough shit. I don't want to go to work every day either. To compare, it's to me, that was the end of the, that was the, first of all, I didn't think there was much of an argument anyway. If you're talking greatest athlete to ever play basketball, you go ahead and you have that conversation with LeBron James and whoever. Greatest basketball player is Michael effing Jordan. Period. And part of that is because he would step on your mother's face to win a game in November. He doesn't care if he has friends. He doesn't care if
He doesn't care if
he doesn't care,
Isaiah Thomas keeps getting on social media. And
he doesn't care if he builds if you want him to build schools for underprivileged children. He doesn't care. He just wants to win. Period. And you know what? If you think, well, God, that doesn't sound like the greatest. It sounds like he's an asshole. He is an asshole. But he's the,
and that's what makes him the greatest.
It does. It does. Anyway, so this was the end of at least the conversation of, well, he could be the greatest of all. No, he's not.
So just a couple.
The greatest doesn't do that, is what I'm saying. What he did is beneath greatest argument.
Yeah, it did just feel. Now, I guess every person reacts to things differently. But yes, I've already kind of said this, but it felt more like a theatrical reaction than his actual genuine gut reaction.
It was, oh, are the Oscar voters, am I going to get a Golden Globe nomination for this?
Yeah. That's what made it feel a little icky to me.
Pathetic.
I don't know that you actually feel this right now. I could assume you feel mad, but not whatever this is. This feels like you manufactured it.
And so, sorry, please finish, because then I want to point out something else.
Oh, that was it. So you better finish your thing before I move on to another subject.
So this week, LeBron, moved up the assist list. And holy crap, did they make a big deal out of that. They're like, he now passes Steve Nash for fourth all-time on the assist list. Oh my gosh, what an amazing number. Look at the number. There's only Chris Paul and Jason Kidd in front of him. Oh, and John Stockton. And they, they say it kind of mumbled off the side of the John Stockton. John Stockton has got to be one of the most underrated NBA greats of all time. And we talk about toughness.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did John Stockton play a full season? I think 16 times. And then the other times it was like, oh, I missed a game or missed two games. Something along those lines. So everybody's kissing LeBron's butt on how many assists he has. And he will never. He's still so far behind John Stockton on assists that it's not even funny. I've got it pulled up in front of me, but it's hard to read. Where are they? But where is it? Assists. So they got games played. They got all this shit, but they don't. Where's the assists? Oh, there they are. There it is. Okay. So John Stockton, 15,806 assists.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron James, 10,338 assists. So he's 5,500 assists behind John Stockton. He'll never catch him. No one may ever catch that. In fact, Chris Paul was kind of famously, he irritated me a couple years ago because someone brought up how, because he was moved up to third, and they're like, yeah, you might potentially catch Chris Paul, and like, but not John Stockton. And he's like, yeah, I think maybe they kind of fudged the numbers for John. I'm like, no, it's because he never missed any games, Chris. And he went to the playoffs every year, Chris.
You can tell that I've been ruined by internet memes forever after that Twitter post that some random fan just tweeted. And it went so viral around Twitter that now I can't hear Chris Paul without thinking of the image of him getting absolutely his ankles broken by Paul George in a playoff game. And he's kind of stumbling forward. And he does look in the picture like he's in a bowed position. And Paul George is letting off a three. And this random Twitter user got some ridiculous number of millions of retweets for this. And of course, Chris Paul III's nickname CP3. Right? So, the caption was, Child Porn 3 bows to the Paul God. That's it. And now every time Chris Paul is mentioned,
the image
pops into my brain.
Well, and then I also want to throw this out there, that John Stockton did it in, I think, like, he did it in way fewer minutes than LeBron, and he's still 5,500 ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, John Stockton, also the all-time leader in the league in steals. He has almost 600 more steals than Jason Kidd. He has almost 800 more steals than Michael Jordan. I'm just saying, in an era where everybody is worshiping the stats,
mm-hmm.
it just seems like they conveniently gloss over John Stockton a lot of the time, doesn't it? I think they do. I grew up in this area, and so the Jazz were really good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a Bulls fan during that whole time. So I was not popular, especially at the end when they beat the Jazz twice in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed off! Ma! You get all that all the time. And it's just like, you know what? You can respect. I mean, I love Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan used to play for the Bulls. He was awesome. Anyway, I'm just kind of ranting, but LeBron James can suck it. I just don't think he deserves the amount of professional accolade. As a person, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What he does with his funds, what he does with his platform, that's amazing. But what he did on the court recently, beneath him.
Yeah.
And I hope he does something to figure that out. It was embarrassing.
Quick pair of things to mention, I guess, before we sign off. We have an interview for work-related reasons coming up here in a bit. The XFL will be kicking off in February. Dal, unlike the USFL last year, you've got a team. You're in the group chat and everything.
The DC Defenders.
Yeah, we got the
Da-da-da.
Your head photoshopped right above their logo on the big image we had drawn up that put everyone in our group chat assigned to their team.
I might need to have you put a different picture.
That's just the one I had as a sticker. I think I pulled it off Twitter or something.
Yeah, I think you did too.
Yeah.
There's one where you and I are posing and I'm wearing my Redskins jersey.
Oh, yes.
Maybe we'll use that one.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know, less round. Maybe that's not true.
My father-in-law got a hold of that picture too and said, "Why is my face so red?" And it's because the only picture I could find of his face on his Facebook page was him and his son were at some restaurant and they were just posing for a picture together. I guess the lighting was just red in there. So his face looks really red.
It was an Italian place. Had lots of those red glass.
I said, no, Brian, you're just really excited about Battle Hawks football.
Battle Hawks.
It's just boiling up inside of you. McKenzie stole my team from the last time the XFL kicked off. But that's okay, because Kyle Sloter, who played for the Breakers, who was my USFL team, is playing for the Renegades, so I'll root for Arlington. Mackenzie can have the Seattle Sea Dragons. She can have her Sea Dragons, I guess, Dal. I'll accept my Renegades, and all will be fine. We can discuss that as things are actually known about the XFL. And by the way, the Arena Football League's coming back now. That was announced today. That'll come back in 2024.
I'm intrigued for the XFL. I was disappointed in the USFL last year.
It'll be about the same, just fair warning. But you have a team this time.
But I'm intrigued about the XFL because I at least feel like they're going to play actual football and not just... Too much of the USFL was... I'm sorry, that same venue thing really irritated. It really soured me.
Obviously, the XFL does give each and every one of its teams their own personal home stadium.
As they should.
Which is a little bit better. Arlington Renegades, I am curious. I'll have to look that up. Certainly they don't play at AT&T Stadium, but I know a few teams, the last time the XFL was around,
depends
did borrow it.
Depends if they want to pay Jerry rent. I'm sure he'll take it.
Because I remember the Seattle Sea Dragons do play at CenturyLink Field.
Okay.
They just cut off the top section, so they only sell tickets at the lower section.
Which works.
And they actually play at CenturyLink. I know the Guardians, who I don't think are coming back. Now they're in Orlando. They're the Orlando Guardians.
I think they should move around to different lesser-known college stadiums that are conveniently located along their travel routes. So let's say, for example, they're flying somewhere and they happen to be on the Front Range. Maybe they play a game in Laramie instead of flying all the way back to D.C.
But I remember when they were the New York Guardians the last go-around, they did play at MetLife as well. which did the same thing. It cut off the upper. So,
which is funny because that's what the Commanders do. They just don't sell tickets to that top row.
And then I did promise last week, Dal, so that's what we're ending on. The Royal Rumble was this
I was going to ask you about this.
Yes, the Royal Rumble what took happened? Place. And it was fine. It was okay. I think I joked that I said I was so excited for my weekend, and then it was so by the numbers. Because the Royal Rumble happened, and then the two conference titles were a blowout Eagles win. And I went, all right, fine. At least the team I was rooting for won, even if it was in a boring fashion and against a backup to a backup to a backup quarterback. And then the Chiefs won in disappointing, soul-destroying, wasn't sure if I wanted to even eat my dinner that night way. But we're only focusing on one of those right now. The reason it was kind of, it was okay, was obviously the first two things that everyone looks forward to that are wrestling fans at the Royal Rumble are the Royal Rumble matches. Two men start, every 90 seconds, another one comes out. You're always thinking, ooh, what exciting things could happen here. And just so we're clear, every person that was watching knew that there were three possible winners. Because the storylines just made sense. Will The Rock come back? WrestleMania is in Hollywood this year. And Roman Reigns is the world champion, and The Rock is his cousin. Are they going to run cousin versus cousin? That would just make sense. The other choice was Cody Rhodes. He's coming back from a torn pectoral muscle. He's Dusty Rhodes' little boy. Everyone loves Cody Rhodes. That'd get a huge ovation. Or Sami Zayn, who's the best storyline possible thing. He's been Roman Reigns' henchman for months. Like 9 months they've been building to this. And at the end of the night, Roman Reigns defended his title, won, and was beating up Sami Zayn's former best. This is very soap opera. It's going to get real soap opera real fast here, by the way. Sami Zayn's former best friend was Roman Reigns' opponent. Roman's beating him up after the match because he's a wrestling bad guy. You know, standard operation here. Hands Sami a chair. He says, now you hit him. Hit your old best friend. Prove that you're with me now. Zayn looks at his friend, looks at the chair, looks at Roman, says, please don't make me. Roman, hit him. Zayn turns around, he hits Roman with the chair.
Shocking.
Yes. Huge. And everyone's in the ring. All the Roman's other henchmen are all, big wide eyes. Brilliant. Then they all jump Sami Zayn. The crowd boos. Credits. And everyone was anticipating that. But the way people thought it might go instead was the turncoat moment would be Zayn wins the Royal Rumble. And then he's got a title match against Roman. So the three possible winners were The Rock, Cody Rhodes, and Sami Zayn. And everyone wanted to know, well, which one of them might win?
None of them.
The Rock and Sami Zayn weren't even in the Royal Rumble. The Rock didn't show up. Whatever. He's a busy Hollywood star. Guess he didn't end up having the time after all. At least put Zayn in it so that we have some thoughts cross our mind of, ooh, who's going to win? But then Cody Rhodes comes out as number 30. Not really a shock. He was announced to be in this match ahead of time. But as the only plausible winner in the match, guess what happened? Cody Rhodes won the match. People cheered. They said, well, we like Cody Rhodes. That's fine. Him versus Roman sounds like a good match. But, like, we all knew he was going to win. All the other plausible winners, they forgot to put in the match. Why?
Sounds like they need to hire you, creative control.
And then the women's match was a little more open. People thought, all right, there's like a few possible winners of this one. But the most likely one, because Vegas spoiled it, because Vegas betting has spoiled professional wrestling for everyone always, came out a week ago with the betting odds were, and Rhea Ripley was number one far and away. And people said, all right, well, that's fine, I guess. But now that's been leaked. So I hope it's literally anything else. Because I'd hate for this to have just been spoiled for me. She won, which was fine.
You Vegas went, always wins.
Yeah, you're like, all right, that's fine, I guess. It's a shame that this got leaked by Vegas with their betting odds a week in advance.
I'm sure that was an accident.
Yeah, fine, sure. So it was fine. It was all good, but unfortunately predictable. That's what I'm going to say. So it was all very well done. But the results were all incredibly predictable, which was, although Bray Wyatt, my boy, did have one of the more hilarious. Either you can go either way with it, either hilarious bad, hilarious good, matches, moments, whatever, of the entire night. In the Mountain Dew pitch black match, because Bray Wyatt's shtick is that he's spooky, Dal, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it must be the Mountain Dew pitch black match. The gimmick is that they just turned the lights off and replaced them with black lights, and then they just wrestled a match. The end. And there's a Mountain Dew logo with a big neon light right in the middle of the ring.
Was it fun?
It was at least kind of fun. His opponent, his name's L.A. Knight, who is actually a little charismatic and funny, decided to wear all white boots, white knee pads, white trunks, white elbow pads, so that when the black lights turned on, they all glued neon green, which was a little fun. You're like, okay. Until it got really silly in that it's supposed to be, well, this is a pitch black match because Bray Wyatt is spooky, you see. The spookiness ends as soon as they started pulling out all the gimmicked weapons that all also glowed in the dark. And you went, this feels more Mountain Dew than spooky. I'm not going to lie to you. But at least at the very end, Bray Wyatt then seemingly got possessed by some sort of demon or something. I don't know. Went into a trance, started walking around like he was Michael Myers, some sort of horror movie monster, and LA Knight just started beating him with a kendo sword over and over again, and he just didn't react to it. He just kept walking. He'd hit him again. He just kept walking at LA Knight like a robot, and I said, that's a little funny. Until the character Uncle Howdy showed up at the very end, which is Bray Wyatt's evil Louisiana spooky uncle that wears a creepy porcelain mask, appeared on top of a very tall tower, jumped off of the very tall tower onto LA Knight, who is sitting on, we're going to huge big air quotes here, electrical wiring, which then somehow, because two grown men went through it, exploded into a bunch of fireworks after
it's
the
like,
jump,
it's like
which is how wiring works.
Yeah, it's like in a movie when someone hits a milk truck and it blows up.
Yes. I'm not going to lie that it wasn't visually spectacular, because yes, guy jumps off, lands on other large guy, big explosions of fireworks. That's not how electrical wiring works, but thank you for the fireworks. And I believe that'll do it for this week, Dal.
Yeah, it has to be it.
Yeah, so we'll discuss our Super Bowl preview. We'll both tell you who we're picking next week. It'll be great. Eagles, Chiefs.
Eagles.
Should have been Eagles, Bengals.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. You can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and at svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.